Welcome to the sermon podcast of First Alliance Church in Lexington, Kentucky. The sermon you're about to hear, Hope for the Defeated, was preached by our high school pastor, Dan McPherson. It was recorded on February 27th, 2022, and is part of our series, Finding Hope.
Well, good morning. My name is Dan McPherson. I'm the high school pastor here at First Alliance. And from now on, I would appreciate being called Reverend. I will answer to nothing else. So I want to first thank you for your generosity. Last week, if you were here, we talked about the Here, There, and Everywhere offering and how that was disseminated out. And a significant portion was a huge blessing to me personally, as well as the high schoolers. We're going to the Life Conference, which is the CMA youth conference that happens every 3 years in July. And you all donated a very significant amount of money to that. Last week, you heard that there were $385 given to each student, which is awesome. There are 85 students going, but what also happened is there are 15 leaders, and your generosity donated $750 to each leader of that $1,000. And really what that does for me is that just makes me feel like you guys are commissioning us to go, and specifically just to our leaders, to allow money to not be an issue for them, that they can care for students and serve students. And so I am very grateful. So I wanted to thank you for that personally. Today, we are finishing our series called Finding Hope. And we've been defining biblical hope as to trust in, to wait for, to expect a better future. Because God knows what's going on in your life, knows what's going on in my life. And no matter how difficult a situation may be, we have reasons for hope because of God's character, his trustworthiness, his love, his grace. And so far, we've looked at hope for the anxious, hope for the weary, and hope for the empty. And if you've missed any of those, I'd encourage you to go back and listen to those online, or you can just walk up to Pastor Paul and ask him to recite those from memory. I'm sure he would be happy to do that for you. But today, we are talking about hope for the defeated, hope for the defeated, and rounding out this series. And we begin with a story. Once upon a time, there was a man named Peter. Peter was a fisherman by trade, had quite a business, multiple boats, multiple employees. But one day, a man, a rabbi named Jesus, walked by and said, "Follow me, I will make you fishers of men." And for 3 years, Peter followed Jesus. He listened to his teaching. He watched him interact with God, interact with others. And the relationship was a bit rocky at times, which is ironic because Jesus named him the rock. But overall, Peter was very steady, often the leader in the group, showing boldness, a desire to follow Jesus to the very end. And even at the Mount of Olives, when Jesus told him, "This very night before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. Peter said, "I will die with you if I have to, but I will not deny you." Faithful Peter took a stand, but then it was put to the test. That very night, Jesus was arrested. And the atmosphere was hostile. The people around Jesus were out for blood, literally. But there Peter was, steadily following behind, albeit at a distance. But then people started to notice him. "You were with Jesus," a servant girl remarked. And he was fearful of the aggressive crowd, so he thought quickly on his feet. "I don't know what you mean," he said. "Yes, this man was with Jesus of Nazareth," another said. "I don't know the man," Peter said. Silence followed, and Peter breathed a sigh of relief. Maybe he had convinced them. And then someone spoke up. "Certainly you are one of them. Your accent betrays you, as it does many of you being here in Kentucky." He began cursing and he yelled, "I don't know the man." And immediately the rooster crowed and Peter remembered Jesus' words. And scripture says he went out and wept bitterly. Defeated. this man he had followed for so long, who he'd said he would die for, Peter completely rejected him. And he was defeated. Defeated by something that he and only he was responsible for. He couldn't blame anyone else. He had lied. He had messed up. He had sinned. And he sat weeping in defeat. Is that you today? Maybe you've been caught in a lie. You've broken a promise. A relationship has been shattered, and it's your fault. You're chained to an addiction with substances, money, popularity, sex, power, food. You made a financial decision that's not paying off the way that you thought it would. You've said some things, and now that they've been heard, you just can't quite reel them back in. You're burning the candle at both ends, and those who matter most are suffering for it. You're tangled in a sin pattern that no matter how hard you try, you can't wriggle free. You just keep messing up. You're defeated. And there's no one to blame but yourself. Maybe like Peter, you've spent nights weeping bitterly. Maybe there's this constant undertone of frustration, disappointment, even self-loathing. Maybe you've given up. You just think, this is who I am now. I might as well accept it. You're defeated. Another story. Once upon a time, there was a woman named Martha, and Martha's brother Lazarus was dying. She sent word to her close friend Jesus, who she knew could heal, to come and save him. And then she waited. And waited. And waited and watched Lazarus grow sicker and sicker and then die. No sign of Jesus. No sign from Jesus. Her brother is dead and Martha is defeated. Finally, 6, maybe 7 days after she had initially reached out to Jesus, he showed up. Martha heard that he was coming. She went out to meet him. Through her tears, she cried, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Martha hadn't wanted this. She tried everything she could to avoid such a horrible loss. Martha had not asked for such pain, such grief. She certainly wasn't to blame for it. It was out of her control, and yet she stood defeated. Is that you today? You or a loved one is sick or dying. A relationship is falling apart, and you're just helplessly watching it disintegrate. A friend or a family member is making choices you don't agree with. People are saying deeply hurtful things about you, and all you can do is sit and absorb them. Your calendar seems to immediately fill up each week, and you feel like you and your family are just ships passing in the night. Your calendar is empty, and you feel dreadfully alone. You read your Facebook feed or watch the news. Things are happening miles and miles and miles away, out of your control. Someone you love is running from God. You're in a job or a role that seems to have no light at the end of the tunnel. You don't have a job, and despite searching day after day, no one's biting. The bills just keep coming. School and coursework is hitting you like waves with no end in sight. A worldwide pandemic has rocked your life, and you're still trying to put the pieces back together. Through no fault of your own, although you would desperately like to change it, you find yourself defeated. Maybe like Martha, all you can do is sit and watch the situation get worse. Maybe you've been running around trying to make things better, but you see no progress. Maybe you feel like you've been treading water for so long, you're just done. You're defeated. A third story. Once upon a time, there was a very rich man. He came to Jesus and asked what he needed to do to have eternal life. Jesus answered, "Keep the commandments. No murder, no adultery, no stealing or lying. Honor your father and mother. Love your neighbor as yourself." "I've done all of those," the young man replied. You can almost see pride welling up. "Is there anything else?" "Well," Jesus replied, "if you want to be perfect, go and sell all that you have. Give to the poor, and then come follow me." And scripture says, when the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. Defeated. Not because of anything he had done, like Peter, or a situation that was out of his control, like Martha, but defeated because of something that Jesus was asking him to do. Specifically, defeated because he didn't want to do what Jesus was asking him to do. Is that you today? Jesus is asking you to do something, to give up a habit or an addiction, to leave a toxic relationship, to talk to a friend or coworker about your faith, to look for a new job, to say no to some things so you can have time for what matters most, to walk across the lunchroom or the classroom and talk to that person sitting alone, to stop watching a certain TV show or listening to a certain type of music, to invite someone to church, get up early, start your day with prayer and scripture, tithe 10% of your income, give more and above what you are already donating, accept a call to the mission field. Jesus is inviting you to take a step of faith, to make a change, but something is holding you back and you're defeated. Maybe like the rich young man, you're simply walking around sad. Maybe you're harboring bitterness or frustration. Maybe you're defiant. Maybe you just feel a weight on your shoulders. You're defeated. Defeated because of something that's your fault. Defeated because of something that's simply out of your control. Defeated because of something Jesus is asking you to do. You're defeated. So where's the hope? Back to Peter. Defeated, he went back to what he had known, what was comfortable, which was fishing. He was out on his boat when all of a sudden he saw Jesus standing on the shore. And Peter, bold Peter, jumped in the water, swam to the shore where Jesus had breakfast waiting, fish and bread laid over a fire. And I'd encourage you to go read the whole thing. But in a nutshell, after the meal, Jesus looked at his disciple and three times asked Peter, "Do you love me?" Three times, Peter replied, "Jesus, you know I do." Three times, Peter denied, and in a beautiful example of redemption, three times, Jesus reminds Peter of his love for his Lord. And then, Jesus simply said, "Follow me." The very invitation he gave Peter at the beginning of his discipleship journey. To all you Peters in the room, the ones defeated by something you have done, you're to blame. Here's the hope. Jesus has not given up on you. He's pursuing you. He's meeting you where you're at. He wants to redeem you. And he's once again just inviting you to follow him. Whatever you've done, whether it's big, small, medium level, Jesus is forgiving you, simply welcoming you back into his presence. Come, follow me. Seems too easy? Not for Jesus. And read the book of Acts. Peter flourishes. He's filled with the Spirit, and God moves in mighty, miraculous ways. You defeated Peter's out there. His life is a testimony that you can live in the freedom of God's grace, that you can experience the fullness of his love. Jesus forgives. He's welcoming you back. That's the hope. But what about Martha? Defeated, she stood in front of Jesus. And then Jesus did a curious thing. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." Some verbal hula hoops. And I imagine Martha questioning. And then after saying this, he followed Martha and her sister Mary to their brother's tomb, Lazarus, who, remember, is dead. And there, Jesus again did something curious. He wept. Scripture says he was deeply moved in his gut, and he wept. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," Martha said, "by this time he stinks. He's been dead 4 days." And Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" Long story short, he brings Lazarus back from the dead. Sorry to ruin the story. He just walked out of the tomb. A miracle. To all you Marthas in the room, the ones defeated by a situation you find yourself in, something that's out of your control, here's the hope. Jesus meets you where you're at. He enters into the pain with you. He's deeply moved in his gut, and he weeps with you. And he heals. Will he heal in as miraculous as a way as he did for Mary and Martha? Maybe. Maybe not. But we can trust him. We can believe in him. We can know that he heals. Whether we see it or not, whether we understand it or not, whether it's miraculous and public like Lazarus, or subtle and private like so many other things that Jesus did on earth. Think about all the times that Jesus heals and says, "Don't tell anyone." He heals, and we can have hope in him. We can have faith that he will follow through on his word. If we believe, we will see the glory of God. To you, Marthas, that's the hope. But what about the rich man? Defeated, he walked away sad because he didn't want to give up all his possessions. And then we never hear from him again. He's just gone. And right after he leaves, Jesus tells his disciples, "It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were astonished. "Who then can be saved?" they asked. And Jesus looked right at them and declared, "With man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible." To you rich men out there and poor men who identify with the rich man, There's your hope. With God, all things are possible. Whatever God is asking you to do, you have it in your head right now. You know what God is telling you. It may seem impossible. It may seem crazy. It may seem like too much or not attainable. It may seem beyond what you can do. And Jesus says it is, if you try to do it yourself. But whatever God is asking you to do, he will be with it in you. And with God, all things are possible. To you, rich men and women, that's the hope.
Thanks for listening. Here at First Alliance Church, we love God, love others, and live fully engaged in Christ's Great Commission, starting in Lexington, Kentucky. To learn more about our church or to hear other sermons like this one, visit us at faclex.com.